Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. We've seen last week where his parents had brought him to the temple about 40 days later to perform the Mary's purification. He had been circumcised on the eighth day, but they come back to the temple and Simeon sees him and holds him up and says, "I see the salvation of the Lord," and Anna does the same thing. And then we don't hear again from our Lord and Savior until he's 12 years old. And he's in the temple, and they're amazed by how much he knew. And I just think there's so much to that we'll look into that today and see the things that are going on. Chapter 2 and verse 41 of Luke says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." So we know that he's now 12 and they've left Galilee and they've traveled that 70 to 100 miles, whoever determines which one it is. And they've traveled down there for the Feast of the Passover. And there's reason behind that. They were still following the law of Moses. And we'll see that the reason that they were coming down and doing those things was because of the law. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for, Lord, just the day, Lord, for, Lord, this wonderful building that you've given us, Lord, to put our church in. And Father, I pray that, Lord, our church grows and strengthens, Lord, that we'd be able to reach out, Lord, first and foremost to our community, Lord, that we'd see those here that are unsaved, Lord, that we'd be able to reach them. And Lord, it would be more widespread, that we would reach not only our community, but our state. Lord, as our state reaches out and reaches our country again, Father, we ask forgiveness, Lord, for the way our country's gone. And Lord, when you judge us, that you be kind. And Father, we again, Lord, just want to seek your face. Lord God, I pray that you teach this lesson today. Lord, show us what you'd have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. So his parents go down for the Feast of the Passover. There were three feasts that they were bound to always come and do. The Feast of the Passover, the Feast of the Weeks, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. And it was a perpetual deal. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the Feast of the Tabernacle and that we all as Gentiles need to learn it, because in the Millennial Kingdom we will still celebrate that feast. The Feast of the Tabernacles will be a perpetual feast that we continue to do. But this was the first of the Feast of the Passover. And it was that every Jewish male had to present themselves before the Lord three times a year. That was the designated feast that they would come to. And at the age of 12 years old is when a Jewish boy would start learning his trade for what he was going to do in life. So we see that it's apropos that this one year when he's 12, there's a reason for that. It's not just the year that he decided to stay back, but every year they went up to Jerusalem for the feast. Mary and Joseph did. Mary wasn't obligated as a Jewish woman. She did it, again, just following the law of Moses. But Joseph was required by the law to be there three times a year. It says, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." And verse 43 says, "And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinsfolk and acquaintance." You know, we look at this and we say, wow, you know, what mom doesn't know where their kids are? I mean, really, you know. I know we kept pretty close tabs on ours. My kids are grown, and I keep pretty close tabs on them now. But you have to understand the customs that they did when they traveled. A man's travel in a day would be about 40 miles, give or take a little bit. And that's just steady walking. That's just leaving and just steady walking, you know, stopping for a food or whatever, but continuing on. Women and children couldn't travel like that. So it was a little less. You know, they wouldn't be able to keep up with that kind of pace. And then a day's journey was also looked at as the cities out of Jerusalem, out of the north and out of the east and west and south. What these cities that they would come to would be a day's journey. So they could walk from one city to the other in one day. Like say Galilee or Nazareth area was 70 to 100 miles. So it was going to take them about 3 days to make this journey and or more. So it says that when they left out, they had done all the feast of the Passover, and they had left out, and again, thinking that he was in the company with them. Now, when they traveled, usually the men would travel together and the women would travel together. So it would be understanding that maybe Mary thought that he was traveling with Joseph, and Joseph thought he was traveling with Mary, and sometimes the kids went with this group or with that group, and or maybe even with, you know, some of their other kindred or just, you know, their friends that came down with them. So it was a group. I mean, they would all disperse out of Jerusalem and go back to their homes, be it north, south, east, or west. So it's understandable that they didn't have exact tabs on him. Probably offend some here, but, well, I can't stand to see the little wrist deal with the kid on a leash. Sorry if you do that. Man alive. I don't even have collars on my dogs. You know? Anyway, they didn't have that kind of thing. And I know in today and at the malls and all the crowded places, that might be a great idea. It really might, just so somebody don't grab and run. But anyway, my kids never wore the styrofoam helmets either, so sorry. Sorry. The things, you remember riding up in the back of the car? That was the coolest place to ride in the world. We rode up laying in the back of there. Of course, they had the big back windows on them then, you know. You know, we, thank God, my mom never put a styrofoam helmet on me, and I rode bulls, you know. Protection, yeah, I get it, and you do want to take care of them. Anyway, I don't know where we got to there. So they're traveling, and they get about a day's journey, and they discover, hey, where's our son at? Now, they begin to, I'm sure when they first started out, it was, well, he must be over here, I'll see, And as the time got on, I'm sure the panic began to set in. Boy, here they head back to Jerusalem, and they begin to look for him there. Where in the world would you find him there if everybody had left? You know? And our lesson is here. Verse 43 says, and when they had fulfilled the days, they stayed for the entire feast. I know sometimes we come to events, church, and boy, time gets away, and we got to get out of here. You know, they stayed for the entire feast. One of my pet peeves in church, and I'll just throw it out here now. You know, we sing music to turn our hearts and minds toward God. We have the pastor stand up here and pour his heart out to the lost. And we give him 25, 30 minutes, maybe 45 by the time you start turning him out, a chance to reach the lost. And chances are, he may have them on the verge. The Holy Spirit may really be working on somebody. You've seen them white-knuckled on the back of the pew. And they're standing there, and they're just under conviction like nobody's business. And he says, okay, let's all stand and have a verse of invitation. If God's touched your heart, come down here. And then all of a sudden, somebody leaves out over here and heads out the back. And they say, wow, I think I can make this. I think I can outlast it. It looks like it's over. And they walk out of here lost and dying and going to hell. Another minute, another 2 minutes, please. Tell your kids, hold it. Just hold it. You know, we as Christians should be praying. Amen. We should be praying as God begins to move in people's hearts. And, boy, do I sound angry today? Let me see what else I have on here. It's the visitors that's got me mad. You know me. So they begin to take inventory, basically, of what's going on in and around them. And they take inventory of their lives and they've lost Jesus. Sometimes that happens to us. Here's where the preaching is in this message. You know what they had to do? First of all, they turned around. They were going in the wrong direction. Not only did they turn around, but they began to seek Him. Look what it says there, verse 45. It says, when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him. And what a message. What an example that, again, they begin to inventory their lives and say, hey, we're missing something. Something in our lives is made it where we're not complete. And things aren't going to be well if we continue on this path. So the first thing they did was they looked up and they said, we need to turn around. We need to go back in the direction we came because somewhere along the way we lost Jesus. Man, what a message. And as they went back, they began to seek Him. And verse 46 says, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple. So it says that they went a day's journey back up toward Nazareth. And they realized, I guess, in the evening that they couldn't find Jesus. So they turned around and they traveled a day back. And they got back into Jerusalem and they began to search for Him. And for the life of me, I don't know why they couldn't think, maybe He's in the temple. Maybe He's at church. Now, again, God is everywhere. You know, I do have another pet peeve. Okay. Man, I thought, man, I can't be done being mad. These wonderful people that say, you know, God's out here on the lake. He's out. Oh, did that hit somebody? I'm sorry. He's out. Look around. Look at nature. God's here. God speak to you there? Well, He may have. But you know what? God still talks to us today right through His Word. And I'll just ask you, how many of you take your Bible and your fishing tackle? How many of you's got it tucked away there in the boat? It's the waterproof version, right? KJV waterproof. Yeah. I just wonder how much real church is going on out there where God's at. You know, how many times do you stop down with what you're doing and turn to God and reflect to God? You know, how often do we do that if we're not in this setting? I've told y'all for a number of years now, if I didn't teach Sunday school, if I didn't teach children's church, I wouldn't open my Bible and read it. I'm not a reader. I've never been a reader. I somehow got through college. I watched the movie part. I don't know. My wife is a reader. My daughter's a reader. But I'm not a reader. And if I didn't have a need to study the Word of God, I probably wouldn't. Just being honest, I probably wouldn't. And how many times do we in our weekly lives do we stop down? Oh yeah, we bow our heads at lunch and God, thank you for the meal. Boom, we're done. You know, did we really even respond? I just wonder how many times that we don't do that. If it wasn't for coming in a setting where we say, okay, open the Word of God and everybody look down and let's read along. Is this your Bible reading for the week? You know, are we getting it in? I'm mad, ain't I? You don't even know me and I'm mad. If you mess with me, I'll go to preaching and y'all, we'll lock the doors and they'll stand out and look in the window and see what's going on in here. All right, y'all leave me alone now. But they went back. Verse 46 says, and it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, here's the part that we get to in every lesson that I'll tell you I don't understand. You guys come to me after it and tell me how it works. But he was just as much God as he was man. He was just as much man as he was God. Philippians says that he emptied himself. That he was made himself of no reputation. We do find out in chapter 2 and verse 40 that it says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit." We knew that he was filled with the spirit and wisdom. But this isn't his deity doing this and talking to the Pharisees. This is him seeking his Father's business. This is him studying and learning at the age of 12. Obviously raised in a good home. Someone, you know, that taught him and showed him these things. But this isn't God sitting there debating with these men. This is a 12-year-old boy filled with the Spirit of God. Again, I don't understand it. There's not a separation. I don't know. I'm just telling you that the last verse says, in verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom." If he's God, how does he increase in wisdom? I don't understand it. There's a lot I don't understand. But I'm telling you that this isn't God sitting here and debating with these men. This is a man whose heart, a sinless man, whose heart is only to do God's will. It says that he was sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, usually during the temple worship, these men that he's talking to, these doctors, were basically lawyers, and they were judges. They would sit and they would answer things or make rulings on things. And then one day, they wouldn't be in their judges' chambers. They would be outside in the court. And people would be able to just basically sit around and go, "Hey, what about this?" You see, Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, couldn't go into the temple. So they're out in the court area. And it says that they found him in the temple sitting with the doctors and hearing questions. Again, outside where, and you understand that there were different layers of the courts. The Gentiles had them a place that they could come and do. Then the Jewish women had a place that they could do, but they couldn't go any further in. And then the Jewish men. So the doctors had come out. They were sitting around, and they were amazed at this 12-year-old boy. I guess so.
Amen.
We're amazed today at him.
Amen.
Little did they know. But it says that he was both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, I don't know if he was asking them, "Hey, is this certain way?" Or is he asking them questions that he already knew the answer to? It just says that he was hearing them and asking them questions. Verse 47 says, "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." I'm sure, based on being a 12-year-old boy, I'm sure that they were overly astonished. My daughter has a superb memory; can just memorize things like you wouldn't believe. Did the Awana program for 18 years, got a citation award. I mean, all the memory verses, thousands of Bible verses memorized. But when she was 11 years old, we went to a livestock judging event in Vernon, Texas. And a gentleman took a bunch of little old kids up there and was going to do a team. And he said, "Look, it's just a bunch of little kids. They're not going to do very well because it's just a bunch of little kids. And these are high school kids and all this." So they go up there. He tells them, "Now, when you go to give your reasoning for why you're placing these animals this way, you know, you make sure you got the judge's attention and, you know, stand up." And, you know, he's teaching these kids. He's grooming them, you know, trying to get them somewhere. And my daughter was about an hour waiting, you know, to get her time in line. And she just sat there and went over it and went over it and went over it and went over it. Well, all the kids, when they would come in there, they had a bunch of college kids in there that was their judges. And so these college kids would you know, record their, you know, scores and stuff on it. And then the next kid would come up there, and they would stand up there and they'd say, "I got this one placed," you know, and they would read off of their sheet. My daughter didn't take any notes in there. And she wasn't ever big as nothing anyway. So this little girl goes in there. She's got nothing in her hand. She's just standing there. The judges are busy, you know, with the last kid scoring and stuff. Well, she hadn't started saying anything. And so finally they all looked up and thought, "Oh, this poor little child. You know, she doesn't have any notes, and, you know, she's probably scared to death." And what she was doing was waiting on their attention. And she began to rattle off her reasonings. They went and checked their reasons according to what her reasons were to make sure theirs was right. When they got done, or when she got done, they were supposed to critique them and say, "Okay, when you do this, you're this, and when you say these words, you do this." When they got done, they said, "Would you go to college with us? We need you on our team." They were amazed at her. And it's no reflection on what's going on here. But when you see a small child that we look down upon, you know, because of our experience and learning, we look at them and say, "Well, what could they know?" You know, one of the deals that I always do is when a child addresses me, I go down on one knee. It's just something I've always done. I want to look them eye to eye. I want them to feel like they've got my attention and they can see me. It's not a deal that they're looking up to me. I want to go down on one knee, and I want to respect whatever it is they have to say. You'll see me do it here quite a bit, and that's all I'm doing is I'm getting down into their space and listening to them. But they were amazed and astonished at his understanding. And again, this isn't God sitting here talking to them. It's what the Scripture says. It says that he continued on and increased in wisdom. Verse 48 says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, 'Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing.'" Well, she was wrong. His father hadn't sought him. He was at his father's business. He had a heavenly father. His answer was, he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" He said, "You guys really didn't get it? I mean, why wouldn't I be here attending to my father's business?" At the age of 12 is when a Jewish boy would begin starting his craft of what he was going to be when he grew up. He's in the temple and he says, "I'm about my father's business." Amen? He says, I'm about my father's business. I can tell you that we see him lay him in a manger, and the next time we hear from him, he's about his father's business. 21 years later, they lay him in a tomb, and they go to find him. He's not there. So he's about his father's business. He ascended, and he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. And he went down into paradise, and he preached to those who were captive. You see, all those that were standing in paradise, I told y'all, what a revelation I got with Vacation Bible School. I've often wondered, who were those people that he went and preached to? Who were those people in paradise that he took captive with him? It was everybody. It was Adam. It was Noah. It was Abraham. It was everyone, because no one could go to heaven until the perfect sacrifice was done. And he went and took those who were captive. I don't know if they was all just standing around shoulder to shoulder, if they were busy doing it. I don't know. I don't know if it was light or dark, but I know one thing. They could never go to heaven. Because the blood of goats and bullocks could never atone for their sin. And He took those who were captive, and He took them to heaven. And that's why today, when we pass away, yesterday when Bill Webb passed away, he was taken to heaven. There's no paradise. He was taken to heaven. Verse 50 says, "And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them." This is another one of those that I don't get. You see, every time something happened in Jesus' life, Mary always pondered those things and kept them hidden in her heart. She does it here. She kept these sayings in her heart. Mary's trying to put all this together. She's been told. The angel of the Lord came and told her. But again, he just keeps growing up like a little boy. Different, I'm sure, but don't forget that was her son. Man, don't forget that. You know, that there's a bond there that's just unexplainable. It says in verse 51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart." Again, every time something come up, Mary just had to really think about what was going on. I'm sure it was overwhelming to her. You know, Simeon had just told her, "You're going to grieve a lot. That sword's going to pierce through your side." You know, I know when I used to ride, my biggest fan in bull riding is sitting right over there. She took me, she hauled me, she paid for me to do it. But I know it hurt her too, at times. It did. I was going to Pecos, Texas one time. She called me and she said, "Where are you headed to?" And I said, "Well, I'm out at Pecos, but I'm going by myself." And she said, if you'll wait and go in the morning, I'll take you." And I said, "All right, I'll go." So she and I drove to Pecos, one of the trips we made. And I had a bull that kind of knocked me around a little bit, or a lot, I guess, and depending on where you're at. It was a lot to me. I got up and come over there, and I said, "Hey, sorry you had to see your little boy, you know, get..." I was 34. I said, "Sorry you had to see your little boy get knocked around like that." And I said, "Boy, my son's not going to do this." And she said, "Yes, he is, and you're going to sit right here with me and watch it." But then, you know, with my son, I went through the same thing. My son wanted to ride bulls. Gosh, I got hurt more with him riding than I ever did with me riding. I was right in the middle of it, underneath, you know, on their heads. Thank God he got out of that. But we got to understand that this was her son, and she was being told all these things are going to happen. And she pondered them. And there was no stopping it. She had to consider those things. And it says that she kept, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and with man." There's an order to that. Man, we should always strive to be in favor with God. Because I promise you, if you're in favor with God, man's going to be pretty all right with you. That's just how it works. Some men, if they're not saved, boy, you'll be the bad, bad one. But that verse 52 says that Jesus increased in wisdom. And I don't understand that. That he set aside his deity. I know that. We understand that he did miracle upon miracle, so many that it's not even recorded. But I can tell you that the apostles also did miracles, and they had no deity. I don't understand that part of it, that he set aside his deity, that he was a man like us, but without sin. He had to be. He had to be a man. God said, "I'll provide my own sacrifice, the seed of a woman." Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we could come and in America we could be to where, Lord, we could come and worship you as we please. And Lord, let us never take that lightly, Lord, that the day would come when we couldn't. Father, let us stand for that right. Lord, as we celebrate these men and women who've done just that, to stand on the wall, Lord, that we would be able to live life as we please here, Lord, in the greatest country that there is. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, help us to send the light, Lord, not just to the foreign countries now, but, Lord, to this country that you've blessed. Lord, let us purpose in our hearts to take it back for you. Lord, bless our service to follow. In Christ's name, amen.